coming to you from Orange County, California. This is the Jug Life Podcast with Max Ada and Chad Wesley Smith. Hey everybody, what is up? Chad Wesley Smith here. Beers with Chad is back. Combo Jug Life Beers with Chad episode. I'm going to try and get back in the rhythm of doing these episodes, talking about lifting stuff, sport performance stuff, business, motivation, lifestyle, all kind of things. So subscribe to the Jug Life Podcast, subscribe to the Beers with Chad feed, as well as its own feed, because I get into some stuff that really wouldn't pertain to the regular Jug Life topics, but for today, we'll combine them. I'm not drinking beer. I'm drinking protein and coffee because, well, it's 3 in the afternoon. I got to train some jiu-jitsu later, and my time is still all fucked up from traveling back from IPF Worlds in Sweden. Today's episode is brought to you by Roan. If you want to be really sharp-looking, professional, athletic man like myself, you can visit roan.com/juglife. Use the code JUGLIFE for 20% off your first order there. And you get something nice like the Sequoia Quarter Zip, which you see me wearing here. So what I want to talk to you about today is the book Range. It just came out by David Epstein. If you're not familiar with David Epstein, he also wrote The Sports Gene, which is one of my favorite books. Go check that out. And Range is about how generalists succeed in a specialist world. And it was a book that I've been looking forward to reading, or rather to listening to, because I do audiobooks for some time, really since I heard that it was coming out, because I've really enjoyed every presentation that I've heard from David Epstein, really enjoyed The Sports Gene. And it was going to be talking about one of my favorite topics, which is long-term development and skill acquisition. And the book is framed with the idea of essentially Tiger Woods versus Roger Federer, or early specialization versus generalist development, and then late specialization, where, you know, famously Tiger Woods played just golf all day, all night, all the time, from, as soon as he could walk, maybe even a little bit before. And Roger Federer played a myriad of different sports for his whole life up until about age 18 or 19, when he decided to focus on tennis and subsequently become the best tennis player in the world. So that goes into the concept of range, which is developing a broad and varied base of experience in whatever field you're interested in succeeding in. And the book actually does not talk about athletic long-term development very much. It's touched on, but the lessons from it, as it talks about, how musicians develop and how kids learn math and problem solving and what makes effective decision-making processes for teams, is a lot of what the book Range talks about. But on theme with the concept of being a generalist and taking information from a broad variety of sources, if you just want to learn about long-term athletic development, it's got a lot of valuable concepts that you can glean from these other disciplines for that. So it's about, creating a variable background, a breadth of experience to be able to utilize aspects of all those different experiences as you eventually specialize in whatever it is, whether that's playing the violin, it's, Olympic weightlifting, it's mathematics and physics. He touches on a lot of really interesting stuff. So, and sort of the conclusion of things is that the best practice is going to be doing as many things, tangentially related to your goal, your goal endeavor as possible. And he talks a lot about how musicians, the greatest classical musicians, they're often playing 3 to 5 instruments before ultimately deciding upon their instrument of choice that they end up becoming famous for. or, you know, most athletes, most successful athletes are not in the Tiger Woods model, rather something like the Roger Federer model, maybe multi-sport high school athletes and varied experience as they grow up, because it having that varied experience and general skill set makes people effective problem solvers, whether they are solving physical problems of, you know, defeating an opponent in whatever sport, or they're solving, you know, mental problems, making decisions in their business, improvising on an instrument, learning complex passages of music.
If you guys haven't heard about Roan, you're really missing out. Roan is a men's performance lifestyle and premium activewear brand that's engineered for unparalleled quality and comfort. They're an absolute necessity for guys on the go. Doesn't matter if you're training, in the gym, jumping on international flights, they're a new go-to men's clothing brand. My favorites are the Swift Tanks. Love to train in those. Also the Sequoia Quarter Zip. I can wear that out to dinner. I can wear it to the gym. They make something for everyone, for the modern man, regardless of occasion. And they just released their new commuter collection. I've got a couple of their commuter polos, the commuter tech polo, really nice material. As a bigger man, I tend to sweat on occasion, and it's got like a nice moisture wicking going on there. Their commuter collection is a performance alternative to everyday workwear, offering everything from pants, polos, shorts, and shirts to the lightweight, comfortable, wrinkle-free. Commuter collection is good for all weather, anytime from a weekday in the workplace or a weekend barbecue. So go check out roan.com/juglife today and use promo code juglife to get 20% off your first purchase. That's Roan, roane.com/juglife. Use juglife for 20% off, roane.com/juglife. Use the promo code JUGLIFE, 20% off.
So how can we take this concept of range and variability and apply it to sport performance? So one of the examples that he gives in the book is when Shaquille O'Neal was famously, you know, struggling for his entire career with free throw shooting. An expert in skill acquisition suggested to him that rather than practicing just shooting free throws, so specificity, the highest level of specificity, for those of you familiar with those terms from Scientific Principles of Strength Training, rather than just practicing shooting 15-foot free throws over and over again, to now take a step in from the free throw line and a step farther back from the free throw line, to maybe practice shooting with different size basketballs, possibly at different sized goals, but adding variability to sort of break up the monotony of the motor pattern that he was failing to succeed in, where moving closer or further was gonna help him understand how to better modulate through, you know, power and trajectory, how to become an effective shooter. And, you know, ironically enough, this morning I was training with a friend, Corey Schlesinger, who served for the last several years as the strength and conditioning coach for Stanford men's basketball. And he was talking about one of his friends who wants to open a shooting gym based on this exact concept. Basically, it would be a gym full of baskets of different heights, different sizes, with different size basketballs to shoot through them to develop this variability concept. And I had said to him that I've always wondered if someone like Steph Curry would be a remarkable beer pong player. And, you know, Corey kind of laughed, and we both sort of agreed, like, yeah, he probably is, because he understands very, very well how to, you know, how much power and what kind of arc anything needs to be shot at. It's a good chance to be such a remarkable shooter of the basketball that he can probably, you know, throw anything through anything, that he's very talented at that. And the concept is very likely true in the other direction. Not that the NBA is going to be going to frat houses to recruit, you know, the school's best beer pong player to now be a three-point specialist, but getting good at throwing, you know, a ping pong ball into a cup, or a rolled up, you know, a crunched up piece of paper into a trash can, or, you know, a tennis ball into a small hoop and all the way on up to a basketball through a regulation size goal, you know, a 10 foot hoop, so on and so forth, is going to develop a range of abilities where the person is just going to improve in their ability to estimate, you know, accurately estimate in split seconds how hard something needs to be shot, at what angle it needs to be shot to go through the basket. And that is so much of what these different, you know, sport skills are really about. Things that are thought to be intangible or at least less measurable than how fast you can run, how high you can jump, how much weight you can lift, that's very easy to measure. But you see athletes like Russell Wilson or Patrick Mahomes or even Tom Brady, not thought to be like a great athlete, but he still is, you know, the greatest quarterback ever, even though his easily measurable athletic skills aren't that great. But, you know, maybe as a combination of his baseball background, where he was, you know, a professional level baseball player, I'm not sure off the top of my head if he had actually gotten drafted at a high school or not, but, and then his years of experience, he understands how to be accurate with the football, but because he can, you know, very quickly, basically subconsciously, judge these distances and angles that he needs to deliver the ball at, and it's going to change his arm angle. And you see that a lot with Patrick Mahomes, throwing off, as they say, different platforms. And also with the baseball background, drafted into professional baseball, Kyler Murray as well. You know, you see the theme that I'm going with. Those guys have more varied experience. Russell Wilson as well was also a professional level baseball player drafted into the major league. He has a great story that he tells about as a child, something he thinks really contributed to his elusive qualities that you see now in the NFL. Even though he's very fast, he's not the fastest, and he didn't run, you know, the quickest 20-yard shuttle, but he plays extremely fast and plays extremely quick and elusive, and that seemingly intangible quality of elusiveness can be tied back to this idea of variability and being able to quickly solve physical problems. In his case, the problem of, you know, 300-pound men trying to concuss him. And he said when he was a kid, he and his friends would go to the mall where they grew up, and there was a big, you know, courtyard in the middle of it that was full of people and had people walking through at all different angles, and they would race each other from one side of the courtyard to the other, weaving, you know, juking, ducking, diving, dodging their way through this courtyard, trying to not run into people as they sprint to the opposite side. And in that, he got a lot of reps at, you know, how to change direction, how to perceive the distance between people, the distance people are away from him. And, you know, it's not like as someone's running down the football field that he's, you know, like the Terminator, like Arnold Schwarzenegger in the start of Terminator 2, where he's assessing, you know, all right, this guy's 3 feet away and this is a 18-inch, you know, gap between these two defenders. But he can just perceive it and know better than someone who doesn't have that kind of background. Can I make it through that space? Can I close that distance fast enough and make it through that space? And his variable background of training has helped prepare him from that. So, you know, the example of Shaq taking a step forward or taking a step back, that's still a very narrow degree of variability. But keep in mind that an NBA player, you know, especially someone as accomplished as Shaq, even though he's a very bad free throw shooter, is so far along in their career that a high degree of variability at that point isn't going to be appropriate. This goes back to like my idea of the pyramid of strength. And as an athlete becomes more qualified, they move higher on the pyramid. Their exercise choices are narrowing to the tip of the pyramid, like the most specificity possible. But as you have lesser qualified athletes, whether that's high school or youth or even little kids, more variability is going to be appropriate. So if you were working with like a high school defensive lineman, you know, maybe a sophomore in high school, and he's someone who wants to go on and be successful, you know, to play college football and maybe even beyond that, he can have a greater degree of variability throughout his whole year of training. So that might be in the fall, playing football, in the winter, wrestling, and then in the springtime, you know, throwing the shot put and discus, or maybe playing on a club rugby team, things that are related but not the same. So how can this relate to lifting as well? Well, it's through different phases. More general phases further away from competition. It may be appropriate to do a lot of strongman type of training and, you know, not do any of the competitive variations of squat, bench, and deadlift. And then as you get closer and closer to competition, you need to do more and more of that. And then in the bigger picture, over the course of your career, early in your lifting career, you can have, you know, much greater variability in your exercise selection from a broader pool. And as you become more and more qualified, less exercises are going to transfer. You'll get more into the idea, you know, the equivalent of the Shaq shoot from 14 feet and 16 feet rather than just 15 feet. A pretty narrow scope, you know, very similar to actual free throws. So, where you draw those lines in exercise selection, that's probably a topic for a different day. So all of this goes to the concept of the outsider's advantage, which is the title of one of the chapters in Range. And, as cliche as it may sound, what my real takeaway from this was, like, if the only tool you have is a hammer, then every problem is a nail. If all you ever do is talk to powerlifting coaches about how to solve training problems, all you have are powerlifting solutions or weightlifting or whatever concept. So it's valuable to learn from outsiders so you can better solve problems. Because, you know, if you're trained as an engineer, you only and you have a team of six engineers and they all have pretty similar type of training, they have a much more limited scope of how to solve a problem. And in the book, he's got a lot of great examples of this, things from like the Challenger explosion to the development of treatment for AIDS, how outsiders to those either could have helped or were hugely impactful. So as you're listening to this as a lifter or a coach, I would highly encourage you to learn from people outside of your discipline. So whether that is you're a powerlifter or powerlifting coach, you need to talk to weightlifting coaches, to sport performance coaches, to track and field coaches, as well as people entirely outside of that discipline, because being an effective coach is about more than just, you know, sets and reps and percentages on a paper. It's about more than just technique, you know, understanding biomechanics, but it's also about communication. It's about effective leadership. It's about, you know, being able to motivate people towards what they need to do. So talking to physical therapists, talking to sports psychologists, general, you know, non-sports psychologists, just people who are effective leaders, I would encourage you towards all of that. He also, in The Outsider Advantage, talks about not getting married to a specific tool. And then it gives, you know, some kind of heartbreaking examples of firemen getting caught in you know, these quick changes of direction in a fire where it leaps a canyon and they're trying to run away from it, and they wouldn't drop their tool, because, you know, their fireman tools, because those are so ingrained into their personality that they felt without those tools they were no longer firemen. And it was interesting to hear some of the interviews of surviving guys from that. But, you know, again, if all you've got is a hammer, then, you know, every problem looks like a nail. And this is probably something that I myself am certainly guilty of maybe, you know, too often having like a myopic view of how I see training for strength. So being able to take a step back to think, you know, how would, you know, whatever other person or someone from outside this field go about fixing this problem can be a really useful exercise. Because so often it's these breakthroughs are made when outside thinking is applied. And this reminded me as I was listening to it of one of my favorite moments in 30 for 30, which I love all of those movies, those documentaries. You know, Bill Simmons, if you're listening, I really enjoy them. Holla at your boy. We can be friends. It's from the episode or the one of called Miracles and Men. and it looks at the Miracle on Ice essentially from the Soviet Union's point of view. And hockey was not really a sport in the Soviet Union until like the mid-60s. They played a variation of hockey called bandy, which coincidentally enough is one of the sports that Max and I had talked about when we talk about powerlifting getting into the Olympics. It's about on the same level as bandy, which you've probably never heard of. But as they transitioned from playing bandy to playing hockey, Canada was the world power in hockey, and the coach, and it said, you know, how could we pass Canada by following along the same path that they are? How can we play the Canadian style of hockey better than Canada already plays it? And the answer was they couldn't. So he, you know, the way he terms it is that the Canadian hockey, the one man with the puck controlled the action of the other five. But in the Russian style of hockey, the five men without the puck controlled the actions of the one with it. And he had to be innovative in his thinking and actually tried to avoid watching much hockey or Canadian hockey particularly, because he didn't want his mind to be sort of clouded by that. He only wanted new experience and new innovation. So that was a really interesting concept, and I think very much applies here to the concept of the outsider advantage. So as a lifter, as a sport performance coach, you can apply these concepts in, you know, very general training phases where you're doing things that you see, you know, if you're a powerlifting coach, doing things you see weightlifting coaches do, or CrossFit coaches, or sport performance coaches. You can take these ideas from other disciplines and use them effectively for your athletes. Still thinking about, you know, scientific principles of strength training, specificity, overload, all that good stuff, but it can definitely have its place, and certainly has its place in long-term development strategies as you look at, you know, kids growing up to become, you know, athletes taking the Roger Federer model rather than the Tiger Woods approach. And there's going to be a lot more success stories from the Federer model than there is the Tiger Woods model, especially because that super early specialization of all, you know, doesn't lend itself that well to anything. But if it, you know, it does lend itself to golf much better than, let's say, basketball or soccer, because golf is so structured and repetitive in nature, not nearly as dynamic in its decision-making processes. If you want to learn more about the long-term development strategies, check out our Jug Life episode, Youth Training Considerations, which I reposted just a couple weeks back as a Jug Life classic episode. So the book is Range by David Epstein. Really, really enjoyed it. Sports Gene as well. Go check that one out. Hopefully this will give you some food for thought, whether you read the book or you don't. Some concepts that you can take with you. Check out Roan. Use Jug Life at checkout. Be looking sharp like your boy CWS. Subscribe to the Jug Life. Subscribe to Beers with Chad. Look for the Juggernaut AI app coming to the iOS, the app store for iOS and Android in the next week. Juggernaut AI powerlifting, averaging over about 16.3 weeks of training. People using it are averaging a 79-pound increase in their total. I'll be posting up different infographics breaking out to see, you know, the difference between the males and females of different age groups, of different experience levels, how they're all having great success using it, because it's not a program for beginners or intermediate or advanced, for men or women, for lightweights or heavyweights. It is programming concepts applied for you, for everyone. So make sure to check that out. Subscribe to the Juggernaut Training Systems YouTube channel. Almost 250,000 subscribers. Going to have a little special treat when we hit that number. I'm Chad Wesley Smith, at Chad Wesley Smith, at Juggernaut Training, at Beers with Chad. It's back in action. Find me on Instagram and all those places. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. I'll see you next time.